Thank you. Kathy Driscoll from the Cape Cod Times.
Hi, Hi Kathy. I feel like I know you.
Yes. I'm so glad we had a chance to talk by phone last summer when you guys were here filming the parade. Thank you for that. And it's nice to see you in person now.
You too.
And so you were here for the entire time they were shooting in Provincetown.
Right? I'm sorry, you cut out for a second. Could you repeat that?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you were here for the entire time that they were shooting in Provincetown and kind of overseeing. And it was beautiful weather, at least the day that
I know
was there. So that went well.
Yeah.
The shots of Provincetown, I mean, you make, I mean, Provincetown is so beautiful and you make it look so beautiful in this
show.
That, I mean, that was something that you were trying to really aim to get that flavor of what it was like there, right?
Yes. I mean, we fought so hard to go there. It was like, the idea that we wouldn't go there was like literally heartbreaking to me. Like, I was like, we have to figure this out. And you know that there was drama around it, but
yes,
so worth it. And, you know, I wish we could have gone for longer, but I think we did maximize the location and really, I think it really covered the whole series. I mean, every episode had a little bit from the Cape Cod show.
A little bit. How hard was it to kind of incorporate Long Island and put those two together?
I think if you're from Cape Cod, you're going to notice where it doesn't work. Yeah. And I noticed where it doesn't work, but I think to most people it works. It's pretty good. I would say the water stuff works really well. Maybe some of the houses are probably the trickiest.
Yeah.
You know, there just wasn't those sort of really old colonial houses, you know, the Cape shingles they don't have.
Right.
So, you know, are very few. So there's a few scenes where I'm like, oh, okay. But what are you going to do?
I know that you had, when we talked last year, you had mentioned that you had tried, you had written some other scripts kind of set around here. Why do you think this one really caught people's attention and really caught on with the writers that were going to be working with you as you kind of progressed through the series?
I think it was the clarity of this, or clarity of my idea of the lead character. I think, you know, I really latched on to Jackie and I really understood her as a character. And that just was really clarifying for the story. You know, I really understood that it was this woman who sort of in her mind is living her best life, but maybe it is a little bit in denial about the level to which it's maybe a little self-destructive. And then her sort of being like run smack into like a situation where she ends up, you know, bottoming out and going to our version of Gosnold. And then going on this crime journey. And so her sobriety and her, and this case kind of go together. So I really understood that it was a character study of a woman getting sober with the sort of backbone of a crime drama. I think writing is about clarity, right? You're trying to explain things in a pleasing way. And I kind of got it, you know.
How important to you was the addiction, trying to get sober aspect of this? That's an unusual aspect that's really focused on a lot and for a crime show.
Yeah, it was really important to me. To me, that was sort of, that's the part that I'm most proud of, for sure, in terms of feeling like it was, I really wanted to portray that sort of honestly. And, you know, I got sober a long time ago, and I really do sort of believe in that possibility of transformation, I guess. So, and I think it's also really interesting and fun and funny, and there's, you know, it's also like, it gives you really good fodder for characters. I mean, I think every character in the show has, maybe not, you wouldn't call it an addiction, but like, they certainly are no stranger to the idea of like wanting more, like, and like, I want what I want when I want it. And I think that's the sort of hallmark of addiction. And I think every character has a bit of that. And that's fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And the different characters, were they all, I mean, besides Jackie, were they kind of, I mean, the ones that came into, they all seemed to come in immediately into the beginning. You had the first pilot fully formed and then you developed them, or did you have kind of in your head how this was going to go, where everybody's arc was happening?
No, so I wrote the pilot on my own before, and then I sold it, and I really didn't know what the rest of the season would be, because I kind of just wrote it for myself to have a sample, so I didn't think I would ever have to figure it out. So then I sold it to Stars, and they asked me to write a second episode. So then I had to really go back and like say, okay, what's the next thing? And then when we opened the writer's room, it changed a third time, because now I know, okay, so I'm writing to 8 episodes. So how do I backfill it, all in? But by that point, I was talking to the people on the Cape Cod Drug Task Force, and they were there in my main sort of research for the police side of it. So that helped a lot. We have really good advisors from there. And, and also my father-in-law is the advisor for the fishery service. So yes. We try and keep it real, and that helps make story.
I was going to ask you about your father-in-law. What did he teach you the most about what was going on there? Did he kind of give you that is going to show up in the series?
Ultimately, I don't know if you've watched all the episodes. There isn't that much fishery service action, but, he definitely advised us on all those scenes. But I think what I was really taken by from the way he talked about it was it's such a small community, and that he knew all the people. It's not like a New York City policeman where you're policing people you've never met and you're never going to see again. This is like a community of fishermen, and he was sort of, he's part of the same ecosystem as them. And so I really liked that idea that they're all part of the same ecosystem. And so she has a relationship with Junior. She has a relationship with Junior's father. It's not just like giving someone a traffic ticket, So that talking about that was interesting.
I feel like that's Provincetown as well, that everybody kind of knows it.
Yeah, totally.
And was your father-in-law an entree into the Cape Cod Drug Force at all? And how much did they have input into, were you concerned that you portray this correctly for them?
He was not the entree. I actually, when I was writing the pilot, I just was Googling, crime and drug stories from Cape Cod. And I just kept seeing the name Cape Cod Drug Task Force. And I kept seeing the lieutenant's name. And finally, I just cold called the lieutenant and spoke to him on the phone. And he was great. He called me back. We talked for a couple hours. He said, I want you to meet two of my troopers. I said, well, next time I come out there. So I did a ride along with them. And then they ended up becoming the advisors for the show. And, they've been great. And I know, I am very conscious that worried that people will think I am portraying Cape Cod in a negative light. And I understand why they would think that. And I want to say, I don't think that the drug trade or the opiate epidemic is worse in Cape Cod than other parts of America. I think that's the least specific thing about the show. You could write a crime drama about the opiate epidemic that takes place in Vermont or West Virginia or Ohio or Florida. And so hopefully everyone in the country relates to that part. What makes Cape Cod specific is the beauty and also the dichotomy of like the summer and the winter. To me, that was the dark and the light. It really makes it a specific place. But our cops, they think we're getting it pretty right.
Good.
Yeah. I'm really good friends with them now, so maybe they're just lying to me, but they see the worst of it. So they understand that part of what I'm showing,
Were you really surprised personally when you started coming here in the winters, that dichotomy between what you had grown up with and what really happens here the rest of the year?
Yeah, I had always heard that it was, I remember hearing there was like, my parents were both in the field of treating alcoholism. So I think that was sort of in my head, but I had heard that that was a problem in the winter there. So that's predates the opiate epidemic. But coming in the winter was a really different thing. It's hard to describe because, when you've only come in the summer, especially in Provincetown, it's so packed, people are walking in the streets, and then to go in February and there's no restaurants even open, it feels like a totally different place, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And how about having a woman as the focus of this story? That was really important to you, right?
It was. It was never a question that it would be any other way. You know, I don't know if you remember, well, if you know Robert B. Parker, the Spencer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I grew up reading those books, and I really love that Boston crime milieu, like Dennis Lehane. I mean, all that stuff is really like in my DNA as a writer. So I knew I like writing men, and I like writing the way men interact with each other and tough guys, but I really wanted a woman that could stand up in that world. You know, I feel like we've all seen like the Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck movies, but they're very, and I love them, but they're very male focused. So it was like, what's a character that can stand up and hold her own in that world and isn't scared of men and isn't trying to be attractive to men? You know, I think that's a big part of why it's interesting to watch a lesbian lead, is because she's not trying to be pretty for the boys the whole time. She doesn't care about that, you know? So she can give Ray what for all day long. There's no sexual tension. You know, it's not a will they, won't they, it's not moonlighting. It's like, that's not it, yeah. You know?
Oh, that's definitely an interesting aspect of it.
Yeah.
And what, is there anything else that you want people on Cape Cod, Provincetown, to kind of know about the show or look for in the show particularly, or about you?
You know, I just hope that they know that I love it. And I, you know, I've been going to the masthead in Provincetown since 1974. And also I think, you know, there is some, because the show used to be called P-Town. And then when I really started writing the rest of the series, I realized that wasn't really fair to the show or to P-Town, because it is a much bigger story than just takes place in Provincetown. And, you know, I don't think Provincetown specifically is like rife with drug dealers or anything like that. Right. So I hope people, that's why we changed the name. And we took it from the slang for Hyannis, but we changed it to H-I-G-H because to me, that felt like the bigger theme of the show, sort of escape, getting high, vacation. So, you know, just, I hope people can enjoy what they recognize. And, well, I just hope people enjoy it. You know, I already know that people, some people are not going to think it feels realistic to them, but I hope that they can find the thing in it that feels honest to the sort of human experience.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I know people are really interested to see it. So it's coming up. So it's great. Don't worry. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you, Cassie. So nice to meet you. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right. Hi, Kathy Driscoll from the Cape Cod Times.
All right. Whenever you're ready, miss.
Okay. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, thank you.
I am the Cape Cod representative here, so I have to start out by asking you if you have any connection to Cape Cod, and if you were, you know, since you were writing about it, and if you were here last summer when they were doing some of the filming.
Yeah, I have a very close connection to Cape Cod. One is that I've been going to Provincetown until since about 1984.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I've seen it, you know, grow and change and still remain the same all at the same time. I love it there. I love the high-end, low-end of it all. I love the townies. I'm friends with some of the townies. Sometimes I feel like a townie.
Of course.
Yeah. I've been fortunate to spend sometimes over up to about 2 months there during the summer.
Most summers? That's wonderful.
Love it there.
Oh, that's great. So was that part of the attraction for you when you got the script?
Yeah, it was. Rebecca Cutter, who wrote the script, the pilot script, when I opened it up, you know, she's from the Cape. She's from Boston area.
Yeah.
She, as a child, spent a lot of time there. And so when I read the script, I immediately loved the sort of sense of place as a character. You know, I feel like the Cape and Provincetown is definitely a character in the series itself. And
I completely agree with you.
Right? You really,
really impressed by how that happened. I'm sorry. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the good news about it, you can feel confident that it was actually written by someone who has great love and knowledge of the area, because Cutter is, you know, was a resident, you know what I mean? She's not a tourist at all. And you know, I feel like we haven't seen that part of the world on television. So this was an exciting prospect for me. So when I read it, I loved the location, obviously, and I loved the characters, I loved the story. And so then I said that I would attach as an executive producer.
And you had read the script and then helped her kind of put it together to get everybody else to love the script. Is that right? And was part of your knowledge of Provincetown part of how you kind of helped everything together?
You know, I would say that Cutter didn't need any of my help in about the specificity of the Cape and Provincetown in particular, because she herself was a native traveler there, had, you know, been there, like, as I said, as a resident. So that's really where I came in. Where I came in was they gave me the script. I have a deal at Starz, and Starz was sending me material to see if I would be interested in developing another show with them. And I read this and I thought, oh yeah, this is the show that I want to do next. I love that Jackie is a Latinx lesbian who has an appetite, a very masculine sort of appetite for life. And that was a big selling point for me, because I would love to be known for doing shows on television that showcase minorities and diversity and characters we rarely see as leads of shows, which is very exciting to me.
That is very exciting. And I know that there's been discussion, and I think Rebecca has talked a little bit about it, about this being a female lead, and that you don't get that that often in this type of show. So was that part of the sensibility as well for, you know, seeing this from a woman's point of view?
100%. It was actually a huge selling point for me, because I've talked to Rebecca, and I've actually said Rebecca Cutter as a writer has a female sort of Dennis Lehane voice, you know? Yeah, it's dark, it's gritty, it's funny, it's not sentimental, it's crime-driven. And as an executive producer, as someone who makes television, I want to support people, and certainly seeing this crime world through the lens of a female lead character was at the top of my list of wanting to get involved in supporting that vision.
Oh, that's terrific. I know you've also written and worked with scripts that are about addiction before.
Yeah.
Do you feel that this kind of represents, and in the writing that you've done, really tried to represent the various sides of addiction? And was that an important theme as well to you?
Yeah, agreed. Again, really good questions, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, it was important to me. I'm sober for lots of years. And Cutter, Rebecca, is also sober. She has shared that. Mm-hmm. And so writing about a world in which we're not tourists, but mm-hmm. we are natives, and that goes for obviously us loving the Cape and Provincetown and us. Oh, did you lose audio for me? Oh, let's see. Mute.
I'm still good, Vic, and I'm still recording, so I can provide the backup.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're still good, Mr. Lennon. I can still hear you fine, and I'm doing a backup record, so we still have you, sir.
Okay, good.
Oh, great.
So yes, that was thing that interested me, was the idea to really explore addiction and recovery, and to show all sides of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think we achieved that this season, which I'm really proud of.
It's such, all of the scripts are so interesting in that aspect of it. And again, something that you don't always see on television. So it's a great opportunity to see it. Can you tell me a little bit about how much of the writing you actually did? I'm not completely familiar with how those roles are divided up on a television show.
Yeah, absolutely. Rebecca wrote the first script completely on her own, and then we met and talked about what the show would be, what the season would be, what that would feel like, and she had to write a second script before it was greenlit as a series. And so we worked together on the story of the second script. So I get story credit on the second script, and she wrote the teleplay. I was at the time co-showrunning Power. And so I didn't have a lot of time, but I was in the room, the writer's room. I would come in and, you know, I would bounce back and forth from Power to Hightown. And I was involved in breaking every episode, which means that as a room, as a writer's room, we all sit around the table and talk about, you know, what should happen? What's our best scenes? And so I was definitely part of crafting all of the episodes, but I didn't write an episode in the first season. I just was executive producer, co-showrunner, and I got a story credit on the second episode. But I feel all of us in the room are all over every page of every episode.
Oh, that's great for a room to work so cohesively together like that. That's great.
Yeah.
Again, in not knowing kind of how the hierarchy here works, with Jerry Bruckheimer's productions, how involved was Jerry Bruckheimer in this show and developing what it was going to say?
Very involved. JBTV, as they're known, Jerry Bruckheimer Television, mm-hmm. is an incredibly well-oiled machine. They have a woman there named Christiane Reed and a gentleman named Jonathan Lippman, who sort of run the company along with Omega Johnson and James O. And they're on every notes call. They give notes on everything. They say what they like, what they don't. They encourage you to go in a direction if you're looking for that. They were very involved, and also in post. I mean, just not in developing scripts and getting them ready to shoot, but while we were shooting and in post and putting the episodes together. They're in every cut.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Were you here in Provincetown when they were shooting the scenes?
I didn't get there. I was actually producing and directing an episode of Power at the time. So I didn't get to the Cape. I had been there, obviously, with Rebecca prior to that. And I was there after that, but not during that.
Not during the fake carnival parade then.
Exactly. But Cutter was there. She was there.
Yes. No, that's great. I know that obviously you've worked on these other TV shows that have, you know, gone on for a long time. And I know you were also a playwright. In terms of these eight episodes, what was the challenges of creating an arc for these characters? A lot happens in those eight episodes.
Yeah.
People.
Well, you know, the idea of, that's why TV is a collaborative form. And, you know, there is, you know, Cutter, myself, and I think six other writers. You know, you just basically sit around the room until there feels to be a exciting, dynamic thing that you all agree on. And you're like, yes, I want to see that. Or if somebody still doesn't get on board, obviously it's Rebecca Cutter's show. I could pitch the most genius, I think, idea. But if Cutter goes, it doesn't feel right to me, we're not going to use it. So she's sort of, I call her the strainer of good ideas.
And was there anything from your own life or your own experience that ended up getting incorporated into the scripts?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that all of us are in those scripts. A really good writer's room, I think that works best is if you learn something about your staff when you leave the room that day, meaning that I personally believe that all fiction is memoir. And we all give of ourselves, of our life experiences, and then use it in the script. So yeah, I can see moments that I'm like, oh yeah, that, you know, that came from this thing that I shared or that kind of thing. Yes. But I wouldn't say, because then I'd ruin the plot.
Okay.
Yeah.
How odd is this to be promoting this show and thinking about this show starting to air in this time during this pandemic? Everybody's inside and
yes. It certainly colors the experience. You know, I've lost friends in New York.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And other people, friends have been sick and have gotten better, thank God. But it colors it. But you know what? I feel like when I'm promoting the show on social media, it's hard to promote the show sometimes because you feel a little bit selfish or, you know, like there's so many people out there suffering and going through hardship. And yet you're talking about a new show that Bruckheimer is putting on Stars, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I do it in the spirit of so many people prior to the pandemic had given so much love, blood, sweat, and tears to make the show happen on the ground that I need to honor them and their blood, sweat, and tears. And we need to honor them and their blood, sweat, and tears and say thank you and promote the show. And also, I honestly think that when the show airs, it's an incredible distraction to what's really going on in the world. So I hope they get lost in our world that we've created and they fall in love with our characters and take the ride of Hightown with them.
Yes, definitely a good distraction.
Yeah.
And I know this, I mean, this filming here took place almost a year ago, and then most of the filming was done last summer. Does it seem like a really long time ago? I'm not sure. What else have been going on in between for you?
Oh my God, yes, you hit it on the head. It feels like a long time ago, yes. Especially when you think about where we started with this. It feels like a long time ago. And in the meantime, simultaneously, while we were doing Hightown, even starting the writer's room on Hightown, I was co-show running Power and running the writer's room on Power and seeing that to its end, 15 episodes. We had an extended season, not just 10, but 15.
Oh, wow.
And I also direct. And so I directed an episode as well of Power. And so I was definitely doing a number of things. But at the same time, Rebecca and I text each other every day, you know, or I would go visit the room, the writer's room, and we were in constant contact. So I felt really part of the machine.
Were you there for any of the additional filming?
Yeah, in New York.
The interior
stuff, yes.
Type of shots in New York. What did you see when you were there I'll wrap it up with this question. What did you see when you were there that you felt this is going to be different from other shows? This is what's really going to get people.
You know, that's another great question. I feel that it probably wasn't, it was really to me, the dailies that were coming in. You know, I was seeing them and I thought, oh, we've never seen this scene before. And, you know, the lead of our show is a Latinx lesbian fish cop who's, you know, basically an addict. And I'm like, well, we haven't seen that before. I've sometimes said that she reminds me of the character of Paul Newman in The Verdict. Female version of someone who's beaten down. She's at the bottom and there's only one way to go, which is up. And I think that when I was seeing dailies with the performances from Shane Harper and Riley Vocal and James Begdale and Monica, I just thought, we have lightning in a bottle. We have something really special here. These people are special. These characters are special. And I can't wait for the rest of the world to see them.
It's not long now. So
he's
looking forward to it on the Cape, I can tell you.
Oh, good.
Really? There's a lot of talk. Thank you so much for
giving
us a glimpse inside there. I really appreciate all the time.
Lovely talking to you. I'll share with you, though, that I went to P-Town, I guess it was in September this year. Mm-hmm. And I was there and I was wearing my Hightown baseball cap, you know, and four or five places stopped me, you know, people on the street. And they were like, what do you have to do with Hightown? They were all very excited about it. And when I said I was an executive producer and they said, I was an extra in this scene over there and I was in this. And it was really fun, the enthusiasm that was shared on Commercial Street.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
There were a lot of people on Commercial Street that day, but yeah. Always are.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I'm glad that they shared that with you and made you feel welcome.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for your time. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you. Nice talking to you as well. Be safe.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, Kathy Driscoll from the Cape Cod Times.
All right, you have speed.
Hi, James.
Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
I appreciate it, and thanks for having me.
And I am the Cape Cod representative here.
Right on.
The Where hometown are you? Area. I'm sorry?
Where are you on the Cape?
I'm in Marston's Mills.
Okay. Yeah.
How well do you know Cape Cod was going to be the first thing I was going to ask you. You obviously know to ask that question.
I know it a little bit, you know, from my parents are both theater actors in New York. So, you know, there's some very fond memories I have about being in Cape Cod when I was a small kid. But
nice.
It was doing the show Hightown was really getting reacquainted. And tell you the truth, learning a lot more than I'd ever known before.
Oh, I'm sure. How much time did you spend in Provincetown when they were filming here?
When we were filming, I was up there the whole time for that.
Great.
We were doing exteriors in Provincetown, so mm-hmm. We were only there for a few weeks. We shot a lot in mid Long Island, and then
yes.
You know, we had some stages in Brooklyn where we had built certain things. But I also came up. I spent time with the Narcotics Task Force in March, and then
oh, great.
I was down in Hyannis and then spent some time up in Provincetown on my own before we started shooting.
Did you get to enjoy anything while you were here?
Well, you know, I live out in a small fishing town in Long Island. You know what I mean? So very used to, I'm here year round. There's a winter element that that we have, that you guys have. And so when I was up there in P-Town, it was, it kind of felt very familiar to me. You know what I mean? Only a few bars and restaurants open, only a few places open. You know, that cold Northeast winter air, you know what I mean? Living off the Atlantic, it's pretty special.
Now, was the location part of what attracted you to doing the show? Or what was it? How did you find out about this show? And what made you think, yeah, that's the part I want to play?
You know, it's wild. I didn't want to play it. You know, it wasn't like I was looking for, I've played a lot of cops but Ray is more than a cop. The cop is just an occupation. It was what Rebecca Cutter wrote about Ray and about all these characters that really got me, was that they were so three-dimensional and that this was really a show. Cape Cod is a setting. The opioid crisis is a circumstance. This is about people living in that setting and that circumstance and how it affects them. And, I got obsessed with her script.
And what about the character himself? What was it about him? I know you had played an addict just before doing this, right? In the movie that you had just done. I
mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. We did this movie called Mickey and the Bear. That was about it was a coming of age tale of a 18-year-old girl and her single father, who's a veteran and who's struggling with his own addictions.
And so you were going from one addict to kind of the whole world of addicts. That's a huge part of what this show is about.
It felt like a natural progression in some sort of way. Everything informs the next thing, you know? Yeah. So my experience with going through that film and bringing out certain sides of me on that film, mm-hmm. it felt right to transfer into this. You know, but I was really scared of Ray because Ray's not a nice guy. Ray's not pleasure to be around. You know, Ray is abrasive and obnoxious. And, you know, I got to go to work every day and be that guy. And I'm not Ray, but I'm excited about doing things that scare me. I'm excited about taking risks. And I think that's when I'm at my best as an actor.
That must be exciting to do it that way.
Every day. I love it every day.
No, what about Ray? Was it that he was unlikable or that he is unlikable that scared you about him? Or I feel like he had this huge backstory that you kind of, you know, we meet Ray after a lot has happened to him.
Yeah. 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 Ray's lived. Ray's been through a lot. And you know, what I love about the show is that the show doesn't try to explain it. You know what I mean? I'm a fan of what's happening right here, right now, you know, and that's the thing about Ray. Ray, and maybe to his own detriment, has not been looking in the past. Ray is constantly trying to bury the past and he's trying to stay one step ahead. He's trying to stay right here, right here. He's actually extremely present, but in a way that's kind of selfish and narcissistic and that causes a lot of collateral damage.
Did you kind of tell yourself what had happened to him before he got to this point? Did you have something kind of in your mind about that?
You know, I just had the story of backstory with someone else. There are things that I talked to about Rebecca. There are things that any circumstance, there are going to be bullet points that you need to be on the exact same page with because they really matter. There's certain story points that matter. Then the rest of that, I think, is very freewheeling. And an actor can fill in. And I've always been a fan of, I'll just say that I work better when I can relate to a character and when backstories, there's something personal, whatever it may be, that you can just connect to a little bit and then you make it your own. Because the last thing you want to be doing is when you're at work is trying to remember what your backstory was.
Was the personal?
You are the person. You are the character.
What was the personal connection between you and Ray?
I think it's also important for me to leave a lot of personal things personal in my life. You know,
okay, totally get it.
Too much about me, you won't believe the characters, you know. Yeah. But I think my job as an actor is to live a full life, you know. And mm-hmm. I've lived, Ray's lived. I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of. I've done some things that I am proud of. I have been there for people in some ways. And I think on that level, on that overall general level, that's a lot of Ray. Because mm-hmm. as much as there's this side of him that is, okay, you're not really a good guy, there is a side of him that he is a good guy.
Yeah.
He does care. I think in some moments he does have empathy for other human beings. I think he's also lonely, vulnerable, and he's full of fear, which are these normal human emotions. What is so beautiful about what Rebecca Cutter has created here is all those characters have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
They're all trying to do the best they can under difficult circumstances.
How hard was it to walk that line for you between being not a likable kind of character, but having all those good qualities as well?
This is one of those moments where you trust the people you work with, because mm-hmm. through a day in filming, I can give you different versions, and I'll always, we as a cast always like to play and throw it around. And so there are takes and there are versions of Ray that were very hard in this direction. And then I do a version that's in this direction. And at the end of the day, I give Rebecca Cutter and Jerry Bruckheimer and Stars the material. They go edit it, and then yeah. they decide which Ray works at what moment and point.
And did a lot of the time, did the Ray that you were thinking was going to come out ended up in the final version?
I'm a harsh critic of myself, so I kind of watch with like one eye kind of closed. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I'll say I couldn't be happier, more proud to be part of the show, and I'm you know, the best thing for me is watching what everyone else does. When I watch the show and I watch what Monica did, when I watch Amari and Riley together and Don Norwood and Atkins and Shane, I just, everyone just really, really showed up and put their best foot forward. And it's cool to be part of that ensemble.
Oh, that's great. Now, I know that a lot of the story is Ray and Jackie doing very parallel things. So you're not in a lot of the scenes together until kind of toward the end of the series. Did you kind of know what was going on, the other filming that was happening? Were you part of that in any way? Or are you doing your own thing until it all came together?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Monica and I would talk about this because we were kind of on these two separate tracks, but we've always been aware that we're on this collision course, so to say. And so when we, it's funny how Monica and I, our relationship as actors mirrored a little bit Ray and Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so as filming got going, we got to know each other a lot better. And I think the world of Monica.
Oh, that's great.
An incredibly talented actor and just a lovely human being.
And you mentioned all the other people that you were co-starring as we kind of wrap this up here. I just was wondering who was really, you know, some of the scenes that you found the most fun to play with particular actors that you'd either worked with, I don't know if you'd worked with anyone before, or that you got the chance to be in a scene with.
You know, I'm going to reverse the question, because everyone I worked with, I loved working with. Everyone I worked with was unpredictable. They were honest. They were true. And they were just powerhouses as actors. And I just mm-hmm. love that. I didn't get to work with Shane. Oh. And Shane and I, that was our one regret this season, is that Ray and Shane never had Ray and Junior never had a scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so maybe one day.
Maybe someday. Well, I'm all set. Thank you so much for your time today. And Cape Cod is looking forward to seeing this show. I'll tell you that.
Look, I hope we did you guys proud. You know,
that was great.
Mine's the entire time.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
It's Kathy Driscoll from the Cape Cod Times.
And go right ahead.
Okay. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there. Talk to you. You're from Cape Cod Times, right?
I know. I am the Cape Cod representative. So I need to start out by asking you about your time here. Did you have any connection to Cape Cod before you came here last year?
Oh, I had never even been to Cape Cod, any part of it. So this is my first time visiting when we were there shooting in P-Town. And I loved it. I understood what everybody dug about the place. It was pretty cool because when we were there, it was all of the cast and a few of the directors who had shot. Mm-hmm. And Rachel Morrison and myself and like four or five and the DP, we all went on a bike ride through P-Town.
Oh, fun.
You know how you can do that bike ride? I don't know what it's called, but it's like a 12-mile thing or a 10-mile ride.
Out through the seashore?
Yeah. And we did that. It was a fun way to get to know the town.
Oh, absolutely. That's great. And you ended up having, you know, pretty good weather when you were there. So that was good. Time of year. I felt like the series makes Provincetown. I mean, Provincetown is so beautiful and it really made it look so beautiful. Which is wonderful. What can you tell me a little bit about? I was there for the carnival parade. You guys were filming there. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the scenes that you filmed and how it was doing that there?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny that you were there. What a fun day, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That in real life? Because I'd never been to carnival.
It's even crazier in real life.
God. I don't know.
Way more people.
I that's what I heard. A few of the people there, they were like, oh, you can't even walk through the streets.
It's true.
Man, that's a lot for me. outgrown. Great.
Totally get it.
Yes, but it was amazing. Like, even just filming that parade scene was marvelous because it's kind of like pride for me, right? Just mm-hmm. see incredibly beautiful community and see how this town just embraces the diversity and how inclusive it is. So it was really refreshing and such a beautiful experience. Some of the scenes that we filmed there, a lot of it was like on the water or near the shore to kind of capture the landscape and how, because it's so cinematic, it's just beautiful to photograph. And then acting there as well was such a gift because when you're able to act in the environment that the story is taking place in, you get to really relax into the role. There's less for you to imagine because it's simply just there in front of you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you guys were able to incorporate some of Provincetown into what you were able to do in that whole experience.
Me too.
Can you tell me a little bit about coming to this character and coming to this show? What, how did you find out about the script and what was it about it that really drew you in?
I forget how I found out about the script. I think my team brought it to my attention. And I was really drawn by the character, by Jackie Quiñones and her journey, her arc, sort of being in the dark and coming as close to the light as she can, and really struggling with her inner demons and trying to find purpose and self-worth and trying to get on her feet after being so rocked by her addiction. It just felt like a character that really, in order to honor that character, I had to go very deep within myself. And I wanted to challenge myself as an artist. And then secondly, the story itself. I like crime drama. I star in it. I direct some crime dramas. So I'm all about this genre. Fascinating. They're always compelling. And the fact that it was set in Cape Cod, I thought was really cool. I'd never seen a show set there.
We haven't had one. and this character, did you like her? And there was a real, she was very flawed. She is very flawed. But, and there's still so much to like about her. How did you kind of walk that fine line between the two things?
Oh, man. I'm glad you said there's so much to like about her.
No, I feel like you make her really likable. And I think this character, you just want to scream. But
I know.
So tell me about how you walked that line to make that happen.
Well, you know, when people are in pain, how they kind of hurt the people they love and they lash out and there's this emptiness within themselves. But when they're not ready to face it, they put all these roadblocks in the way of it. And I think for her, that's sex and drugs, any kind of distraction to keep her from dealing with the true reality of her issues. And I think that, you know, humor is part of how she deals with it. Sex is obviously a part of it, and sort of her tough guy attitude. When you peel back that layer and you take her armor off, we see that there's actually this very vulnerable, very young girl there who has no idea how to navigate the world. And she's struggling to get sober, which is a very big part of finding one's worth, figuring out what your worth is and what your purpose is. And then on top of that, then she finds this body on the beach, and it's this young girl who's been murdered. And I think she feels compelled to help figure out who this killer is and help to solve this, because finally she feels like there's this mission that gives her purpose and gives her drive. So for me, it was a story of her redemption.
And that, and the, especially the redemption from addiction, is something that's obviously very big in the story and different from a lot of the other crime stories that have been told. Was that part of the attraction at all, to really delve into that aspect of the story?
Yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, addiction is something that affects millions of people all over the world. And unfortunately, you know, I think that between you and me, we probably have some kind of experience of knowing people or friends or family. And it's amazing how pervasive this disease of addiction is. And it was something that I think I wanted to tell because of how much it has affected all of our communities. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to see if I could honestly tell that story.
Was there anything about, particularly about Jackie, that you have not had the opportunity to play before that that was really different from other characters that you've created?
I've never played a queer character, really, not to this extent. I played like sort of a, I'm not sure if she's even considered bisexual, but she was a little, I don't even know, on Good Wife, I played this character who like and flirted with RG Punjabi, but that was as close as I got to really being able to represent my community. So I have never played a lesbian woman on television. And that is groundbreaking in itself, but then to be playing a Latina queer woman, which is who I am, who Monica is, I am a Latina queer woman. So to being able to portray that and represent that for my community and for my culture was, I've never gotten a chance to do that. It's amazing.
That's wonderful. And she is the lead character in a TV show.
No, it's so crazy to hear you say it again and again. I can't believe it. Like, I just can't believe how much progress we have made in this industry and how much more there is to go.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have that representation for sure. And some of the other characters, obviously on Chicago Fire, you played her for a long time, and there were long seasons. You had to create this character and this whole story to the point that it's edited, despite only over 8 episodes. Was that much of a challenge for you to really get that character out there in that short a time?
No, I don't think it was a challenge. We did have a lot of time between when I was cast in the role and when we shot our first day. I had,
oh, good.
Like, I don't know, like 6 months or something like that. So I had enough time to sort of live with the material and think about the character and create the character and what, but just be able to live with her for a minute before we actually started production. And doing 8 episodes, I mean, it was phenomenal for me. I've been used to doing 23 episodes.
I know, I bet.
3 months to shoot. What? That's great.
I know. Really? It's the end of the season. Come on.
And then they were like, I remember there was a day that we were filming and we were on the boat and it was very cold. This was when we were still filming in Long Island. Mm-hmm. It was raining out. We had been shooting for like for 14 hours. I don't know. It was exhausting, cold, rainy, and people were in a bad mood. So just like a little girl. And I was like, woohoo, this is amazing. And everybody's like, why are you so jovial and positive? I was like, because it's not negative 25 degrees outside.
A little bit different than Chicago. Yeah.
Handle this. No problem. Plus a 3-2. All right.
Did you have the whole script when you were running, or did you kind of not know how this was going to turn out for her as you were?
Know how it was going to turn out. I had the first like two. I think I had the first two scripts because remember we shot them in blocks. So Rachel Morrison directed the first two and then Eva Lucas in the next two. So each director had two. So I had the first two scripts with me. And then, you know, then I didn't know how it was going to end, but we would have each script a little bit, enough time to start to work on them before we shot them.
And figure out. And I know I have to wrap up here. So just, is there anything, I mean, Cape Codders are very excited to see this show. There is so such high interest. Is there anything particular you'd want them to know about this show and your character and what this show has to say?
Yeah. You know, I really want to thank Provincetown and to the community, you know, being a part of the LGBTQ community, to be able to go to a town where I'm completely welcomed and accepted. It was just, it's such a wonderful place in the United States to have a safe haven like that, that embraces every marginalized person, no matter their background. So I just wanted to say thank you to Provincetown for that.
We are definitely lucky to have that here. It's great. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope that there's a second season.
Me too.
Yeah, that will go on. But thank you so much for your time and for your character.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye.